Hey guys, this is John.
And Austin.
And this is another episode of the Meatgistics podcast. We've got some food in front of us, so let's deal with that first, and then we'll get on to everything else.
Deal with it? That makes me concerned, like this isn't going to be good, because you've already been eating it, and you're like, normal. No, you can't. No, don't touch it. Don't taste it.
Well, I want to get your honest reaction to it. I know what's in it, so there's no mystery. Go ahead, take a bite. I don't like any of the bites you have there. I looked in between. There's nothing. We put crickets in here.
Wait,
cricket pieces.
Have you had this yet?
Have I had it? Yeah, I've had it. Ooh. But I don't see any big cricket pieces in yours.
It is horribly dry.
Maybe got some of the larva.
It is not crickets. That was a lie.
There's definitely chocolate in it.
So it's the chocolate chili bratwurst. We cut up and put in Snickers, the mole sauce, which I think is probably most of what we're tasting, some Twix, blah, 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 all those little, you know, tiny things. But I refuse to put actual candy corns in them because I have standards. Cooking it, though, very interesting. Pretty much all of the chocolate cooked out. Like I could see it melting and running out. I think what's left in there is what came with the seasoning and the mole sauce. So I think adding candy to your bratwurst is totally useless. That is also beef, not pork.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense. what's the fat content on it? Do you know?
It was 15.
15. That's why. Because like normally with a sausage, like you get like a store-bought sausage and it's going to be 30 to 40% fat. If that had 30 to 40% fat, that could be really good. It's just too dry and crumbly, which part of that could have been if the chocolate was in there and it melted out, that could have just had a big effect on it.
It could have, but yeah, no, I don't think that putting the candy in it had anything to do with like it tasting good. I think the candy is only like a negative thing. So that mole sauce, M-O-L-L-E, it's like a Mexican chocolate gravy type thing. Add that and use the chocolate chili bratwurst, and I bet you with pork and a higher fat content, I bet you it'd be really good.
Yeah. I like the chocolate flavor in
it. Yeah, it's good.
It's really good, yeah.
And just that little bit of chili, I think it works really well.
Oop. It almost, like if I took a bite of a candy bar with a bratwurst, I don't think I would like it. But I'm going to guess there's just too much sugar in there.
Yeah.
This tastes like it's more like cocoa powder.
Yes.
And I think that's what helps it because it's more of a, it's not bitter, but more on the bitter side than the sweet side.
Yep. And the chili gives it just that little bit of spice. It's not even really heat. It's just spice.
Yeah.
And takes it out of being too sweet. So all in all, once again, proving the chocolate chili bratwurst is worth carrying. I mean, I don't know how many we sell of it. It's not much, I imagine.
It's not a ton, but I know it's not our lowest selling bratwurst.
What is that?
Our lowest selling bratwurst.
Is it horseradish?
No. I'm guessing. This is last time I looked. It's been a while. The pumpkin flavored.
This should be the most interesting game. I don't understand why we don't just do this every time.
We need to get those numbers up on pumpkin. It's perfect time of year for it.
Yeah, and I think that's why is people only really want to buy it one time a year, and then they're done.
Oh, darn. Brat, which some of them say instead of bratwurst, also has calibrator in it, so we're getting all sorts of weird information. And then we get all the wits. What is lone wolf?
Well, what would you assume to be just off the top of your head, just like ones that maybe you're not a huge fan of that you just think might be at the bottom of the barrel there?
Swiss style.
Oh, no.
What is it?
Horseradish is the lowest.
Yes!
Is it new though?
It is new. Yeah,
horseradish. Oh well, that is new. It only has like 5 months of sales history.
Okay,
so that's why
it is the lowest selling. The reason being is because it's not one thing or the other. It tries to please the masses, and it has too much horseradish for that. But it doesn't have enough horseradish to like make it where somebody who wants to try something different wants it. Now, I am using that in a project for next week's podcast. The horseradish brat is going to figure heavily into it.
Oh, I got a perfect sauce we need to try with that.
All right, tell me off air.
Okay.
So hold on. If we talk about sauces, maybe we should segue into something I made notes on.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you noticed, but new products.
Yeah,
I saw that. Some of the new product stuff coming out. Okay. So we'll get to that in a second. I have to make one last comment on the brat stuff. So salsa brat is one of our lowest. That's disappointing because correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought salsa brat was really good.
Salsa brat is really good. It's just too esoteric.
It's great. It's great with chicken, by the way.
Sorry. It is great with chicken. I have no idea if esoteric is the right word to use there. Just felt like I was going to throw out a big word and see if it stuck. Nobody commented on it.
That's how I write papers. I'll find a word I want to work in, and the whole paragraph is around
that. Figure around that. I like that. I like that.
So for new sauces,
okay. So I saw them come through. Is this you or is this Andrew?
This was me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I figured it was Andrew.
No, I've just been discontinuing so many things.
You felt like you had to give life.
I had to put something back in, and we'll see. My dad hasn't actually talked to me about it yet. We'll see if he listens to the podcast first and he hears my explanation, or if he comes and tracks me down. It's like, why are you adding blah, blah, blah? Cause where inventory is, it's a good 50% up right now over last year.
Yeah.
And last year was record inventory. So right now it's just nuts how many dollars we have sitting in the warehouse. So anytime I'm adding stuff, he's always like, why are we doing this?
I totally get it.
But,
I can stand a lot of from your father, but like when he asks me like kind of why I'm spending his money, I'm like, oh God, this makes me feel bad. I don't like this. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
So we added a number of things from Excalibur. So yep. we'll talk about that, but we might've already talked some about it. We at least talked about one of them. The blackberry pepper. But then Terrapin Ridge, they're more sauces and jams and things that have some sort of liquid consistency to them. One of the things we added is a onion blossom horseradish dip. That I added that because I was like, that better be Outback Bloomin' Onion sauce. It's gotta be.
It's not gonna be.
I think that's what they're shooting for.
Okay.
So we're gonna get it in and we're gonna try it, but I am super pumped for that. It's gotta be amazing. I'm gonna be thoroughly disappointed when it sucks. But everything I've had from Terrapin Ridge is absolutely amazing. I've never had anything that's not just incredible. So we'll see. Then we've also got some Hatch Chili Bacon Ranch dip.
That'll be great.
Yeah. Smoky maple bacon mustard.
Can't see how that's bad.
Hoppin' jalapeno dip, yep. Nashville hot mustard. That one seems weird to me.
Why is it a mustard?
I don't know.
There's nothing, unless I'm off on what Nashville hot is, mustard has zero to do with it. It's a hot sauce with some sweet.
Yeah.
Mustard is none of those things.
Agreed. Yeah.
I think it's just playing off of the whole Nashville hot and some popularity that has, and then just making it different and unique by making it into a mustard.
I would assume maybe they add pickle flavor in there a little bit, maybe, because every time I see Nashville hot chicken, there's always a slice of little pickle on there. So I don't know.
I'll take that.
Remains to be seen.
If it's a mustard and it has a little bit of pickle in it.
Because it's got like a vinegary base I'll from accept the mustard. That. Yeah, so.
I mean, let's be honest. I'm going to eat it no matter what. But
we're going to dip pretzels in it for you guys. Oh, God. For sure.
One of the other things that we added kind of recently, it was about a year ago from Terrapin Ridge, was dill pickle mustard. Have you tried that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and the Hatch
chili cream cheese dip.
Cream cheese dip.
Yeah.
We used that as part of, did we use that or did we end up using the habanero mango jam for the?
I think we've used a couple of them on.
No, for the Chinese food thing we made, the wontons.
The wonton, the cream cheese one.
That was so good.
Yeah.
It was so good. It's been good in everything we've used it in. All right. So then we also have the jalapeno aioli squeeze. That'll be interesting. What is AVO?
Avocado.
Oh, God, I hate avocados.
You don't like avocados? What is wrong with you?
Am I not thinking? I'm thinking of the wrong thing. Darn, that's embarrassing.
What? Then what do you not like?
It
looks like an avocado.
Kind of, but not really. It's got like all the leaves that come up.
Artichokes.
Artichokes. I hate artichokes.
Love artichokes too. One of the best things for artichokes, you're going to hate this, it is by far one of the best things. Uh-oh. Pizza.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Artichokes on pizza is incredible.
Another great thing with artichokes is actually the garbage can. You just throw them, make them and throw them right up. No, they stink up the house. My sister's always loved them.
Terrible.
And then truffle aioli squeeze. I can see Gordon Ramsay right now walking into this building, grabbing all of them and just throwing them out. No truffle aioli, anything. Now, I will push back on something you said. You said nothing they made was bad.
Yeah.
They have a product that I do not like in any way, shape, or form.
That's not possible.
Can you guess what it is?
If you don't like it, I'm going to say... it's probably the everything aioli. You're not a big fan of everything stuff, are you?
No, I love it. Remember, I kept trying to make
everything. He did try it. Didn't work out the way he
I kept trying to make everything bagel seasoning sausages, and I couldn't make it work. It's a squeeze.
The hot wasabi?
Hate it.
Really?
Hate it.
It's not real wasabi.
With a passion.
Huh. According to John.
It takes the worst parts of wasabi and leaves out all the best parts of wasabi. It's just got like some... spicy heat it tastes like Vicks vapor rub. That's what it like.
No,
those two things are married in my mind.
See, I don't know, and I like it.
Like the hot wasabi?
Uh-huh. I'd rather like when I eat sushi, I'd rather put that on it than like the wasabi you get from wherever you get
sushi. That is terrible.
Yeah,
that is absolutely terrible.
I think it's great. Say that. So to each their own,
but mostly mine. But no, other than that, yeah, I love everything from them. One other quick thing, coming up here in the next couple of weeks, keep an eye on Pheasants Forever. We went up there. When was that? It was not that long ago. July?
It was July. Yeah.
Feels like way longer ago than that.
It was towards the end of July. Yeah.
You could have told me that was 2020 and I would have believed you. Like if you said, remember when we went up to Minnesota in 2020? I was going, yeah.
No, it doesn't. To me, that feels fairly recent, but
God,
I don't know.
Okay. Anyways, we did some stuff with a chef up there by the name of John Whipfley, shot some stuff on cooking pheasant, quail, did a bunch of good things. They have the first one of those ready. I was surprised they went with that one because it is by far the most in-depth one, the half pheasant. They have that, but it's great. They did a great job with it.
It's going to be cool.
Yep. So that should be coming out soon.
So then new Excalibur stuff. We talked about one of these, blackberry pepper rub. That sounds really interesting. The downside to having some new things, this caused me to increase prices on some shakers because I was looking. I'm like, ooh, these are getting a little more expensive. So don't be shocked when shaker prices go up by 50 cents or a dollar because things keep going up, just little increments here and there, but some of these newer ones are going to be $1 or $2 higher than normal shakers just because they've got some specialty stuff in them that just makes them more expensive.
Well, also, just before we go any further, we've been live stream listeners, podcasts, like we've been saying for a long time prices are going up. Like we've done everything we can to warn them that, and I don't think this is going to shock anybody that prices are going up.
No, I'd like to give as much warning as we can.
Yep.
But some of the other flavors, a bourbon pepper rub, that one will be interesting. Firecracker rub seasoning. I have no idea what that is, but I'm excited for it.
So we have some of that. They sent, do you remember when just like randomly a bunch of 5-pound bags?
Yeah.
One of them was firecracker and we did a bunch of different things with it. The firecracker rub was good.
Maple Korean.
Yep, that was good too.
Sweet Taste of Havana.
Oh, so I've done all of these. Yep. Sweet Taste of Havana. Actually, Patrick, was that the one we liked the least?
I don't remember.
I don't remember
tasting.
Maybe we didn't do that one. I don't think we did. There was something special with that. It might have been that we just didn't have time to do it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Caribbean. How do you say that?
I say it both ways.
Okay.
Same thing with caramel. Sometimes I'll say caramel. Sometimes I'll say caramel. And it literally like is never in my mind when I'm about to say that word. It's just what comes out.
I couldn't agree more.
Right?
With both of those words. Could not agree more.
So Caribbean Cajun jerk and Aloha rub. The Aloha rub, I feel like that could be either really good or I'm really not going to like it. I think there's not going to be a middle ground. There's a lot of these I look at and I'm like, I think, yeah, I might like that. It might be okay. But the Aloha, I feel like I'm going to be very one-sided or the other.
Go back and watch the last podcast I did with Kurt Ratzliff because we tried a bunch of those. I think we did the Aloha, the firecracker, and the maple Korean, the Havana, and the other one we didn't do. If I had to guess, I would say the one out of all those that I'm not going to like is the whiskey one. I just generally don't like whiskey rubs. I mean, sometimes they're good, but generally...
That's usually a love or hate thing, yeah. What is it? The Kentucky Bourbon Basting Blend? I don't like that at all.
Except I've made chicken with it a few times, and it is top two or three for chicken. Like if you just marinate some chicken breast mm-hmm. in it and grill it, it caramelizes and you get that like perfect Maillard reaction, and it is delicious.
Yeah.
However, if you try to use it as a dipping sauce or something, you might throw up.
Yeah, that may be why it's called a basting blend, and it's not a dipping sauce or a barbecue sauce deal. It's meant to be
using big word or like, you know, using words appropriately.
Yeah.
Well, John had told you what to do there. Don't stick your finger in it.
But that's all I've got for new products right
okay.
now.
Okay. Couple things real quick. I don't know if you've read this or not, but so update on Amazon sending me random gifts. I have recently received that bunny statue that we will, my plan is to move it around the building and just wait for somebody to find it. And I'm going to leave a little note under it just saying, contact John when you find it, and then I'll move it again. A 3-in-1 fish tank, essential oil diffuser, and humidifier that's about this big. And it has LED lighting in it.
Well, for those just listening, how big?
Oh, like, good point. Like 2 feet tall.
Okay.
Around that, maybe a little bit bigger than that. But I think, and I think we are going to do this. My wife said the other night, it'd be funny if we had a Christmas party, a white elephant Christmas, but everyone we invited, nobody had to bring gifts. We just used things that Amazon had sent me that I don't order. And somebody would end up with everything. That would be 3 different spy cameras. Hearing aids, a cat toy, a pair of Spanx, a medium but really small dog vest, those 2 things I just mentioned, and there's something else, can't remember.
It was like a clock was one of the cameras, by the way.
Yeah, that was one of the spy cameras.
Yeah,
I've paid for none of this.
This is very
like literally none of this.
My favorite thing is that John immediately plugs them in and like to his phone and like gives access to the cameras, and I'm just like,
but then I delete it immediately.
Oh sure,
like they've all been deleted immediately.
Yeah, but if there was spyware, when you delete it, it's not gone.
So maybe I need to restart my phone.
No, like
restart your life, dude. What are you doing?
All right, let's. I'm very big on like privacy and stuff, but let's just be honest. I'm not worth spying on at all.
That's how I feel. Yeah,
it's just I don't do enough.
I just think it's funny that you're willing to like try out all those things, and you're not willing to like use the fingerprint scanner on your phone or the facial recognition.
We argued about that last week. I was like, what?
That is a very valid point. Listen, my life, I'm not saying it makes sense. It's just the way I
imagine. Imagine that people spy on you like, God, dude, he's playing with his dogs again.
But my new, that's all this kid does.
Oh my gosh.
Guy, I'm not a kid anymore. But my conspiracy theory now is that all of this is coming from somebody on Meatgistics, and they're using this to spy on me.
I don't know
why yet. I haven't gotten all the way around to that.
Oh, perfect.
But I'm sure there's something.
I think we might reveal some stuff in our holiday videos coming up. So
fair point. All right. Biggest thing I've been involved in with Meatgistics recently. Not biggest. Downvotes. There seems to be a lot of people clamoring for downvotes to be turned off. My pushback, I think, is the same that yours has always been. And I can't remember if I made you think this way or you made me think this way. I want to leave it because I want them to have a way to tell us when we're doing something they don't like. Like if we post something and they're like, no, that's stupid.
Yeah. I mean, I personally like it. I don't think there's any way we get rid of it. I think there's ways that we can make it harder to use or restrict it or make it not as easy. Because there's been a lot of people who have said that they've found out that they have
done it,
downvotes, and they didn't even realize that they were downvoting stuff. So I think there's ways we can fix that. But the downvote, I think, is a very important feature, because the simplest thing is we have a spam account that gets created and they make a post. Everybody ought to flock to it and hit downvote, downvote, downvote. That way everyone knows that, hey, this is not good content.
Right.
And a moderator will come along and delete it. So that's, I mean, in my mind, the easiest use case of it. But even in other cases, just on generic topics, as long as people don't get hurt feelings by getting downvoted.
I think that's what is at the heart of this.
Yeah. I think people just have to understand that it's not you saying, your comment was the worst thing in the world and you should just shut up and leave your opinion to yourself. It's just a way of saying, no, this isn't as good as something else. And that's okay. There's always, someone else is always better. And then the flip side, someone else is always worse.
So my one pushback to that, well, I have two pushbacks to that. One is I pretty much told them that on the post for this, if it can be like 90%, we want to turn it off, we'd turn it off. So if you go against that, you're then going behind my back and hurting the users, but that's fine. You do it, you know.
My vote ultimately counts for 91%.
Exactly. well, no, like 51%.
Okay, 51%. Right,
doesn't matter. And then second, the Meatgistics community or whatever is a very friendly, supportive place. I think a lot of people who gravitate towards it partly because of how we set it up initially. No, not aggressiveness, that's a wrong word, but no just being mean for no reason. Like, we have not had that problem in a very long time. Like we've said, I can only think of one person I ever had to reach out to and be like, hey, don't.
So. Yeah. Most people just, they get on the site, they see what it's about and what other people comment like, and then they kind of fall in line. That might be a bad way to say it because they don't want people to just fall in line and be sheep.
Yep.
But they understand that, hey, there's—
when in Rome.
There's an etiquette to things here. Yep. We're not going to be jack wagons to each other. We're all here to help each other.
It's a great term.
You know, we keep actually forgetting that, like, I'll, not on Meatgistics, but on Facebook and other stuff, I'll passively, aggressively just like things. So it's like the like and dislike button are not actually things that you should be like, you know, they're not scripture, so to speak. It's like, if I'm liking something, they might like it because they dislike it, so to speak. So I wouldn't get too wrapped up in the hoopla of internet.
I don't follow that logic at all. I need him to explain that. Just real quick, really? Can you explain that in a sentence?
On Facebook, people, like, if you truly like something on Facebook, you'll ha ha or love react it. If you're trying to throw some shade at somebody, this is what people say. This isn't me. Sorry. But if they like it, that's them just kind of sticking their nose up at it.
Oh my God.
See, there's a whole other underground etiquette that I'm glad Meatgistics is not a part of.
So. That's weird. The only thing weird I do with like the likes on Meatgistics is sometimes I may not necessarily like really like a post, but I like it just so someone sees that, yes, I saw it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I use it as like a red notification.
The number one thing I read or I upvote are pictures just because I want to be like, saw that picture. It's cool. Like on what did everyone cook today? I very rarely, I told Pat this yesterday. I got to spend more time on Meatgistics yesterday than I have in months, like absolutely months. So
you told me that yesterday.
I did tell him that. So that was great, but I still don't have time to read every single post on what did everyone. So I go through that and I look at the photos and I'm like, yep, like it. And again, I think it is kind of the, yep, hey, I saw this.
Yeah.
All right. Another one. Will it barbecue ideas? Two people have contacted me recently asking us to bring this segment back. So really all that has to happen is I need to do them. And then just like we did at the end when we were still doing this, I just need to grab you for the shooting, like up here. Everything else, we can even really have John do.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of talked about that. If we had John do all the setup and prep and get things going, you and I can just walk in. But we do it like, let's just pick a day out there and say, hey, we're going to take half the day and we're just going to shoot a bunch of them.
Right.
We're going to do 6-8 things. So we just boom, 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 run through all of them. And
here's the problem with that. We, by the end of it, we're so uninterested in food. Because I remember we did that a few times. And by the end of them, I'm like, I don't want to eat that.
That's probably
so true. It needs to be, if we're going to do it, maybe two a time. And we just do it like, pick a date on each month, like the second Thursday or something like that. And we'll just do two. All right, so we need ideas. So on this post that over at meatgistics.com for the podcast, go ahead and leave ideas.
Yeah. So,
but take a look through what we've done already.
Well, what this is for Wilt Barbecue, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So things that you might not think go great on a barbecue and then end up awesome. So.
Exactly. Oh, or terrible.
Yeah.
Beer. Being the
we won't the be doing we won't be doing beer or whiskey
coffee.
Again.
Now whiskey was bad, but not terrible. The coffee, beer, and soda.
What would you rather
have? Did we ever even release soda?
I don't know that we did release soda. That
I don't remember that.
That was before your time.
Octopus.
Though. There was a time before you, Patrick.
Hey, jerk. I live on our YouTube page. I don't remember the words coffee or soda anywhere. So,
coffee we definitely released. Yep, with a barbecue soda, it's out there. It was terrible.
December 14th of 2017. Jeez, I was in good shape back then.
Oh, dude, I hate looking at old videos of us. Yep, and we released coffee too. All right, so those are both out there. Okay, hey, so give us
throwback. I was feeling nostalgic today, so I put on my orange hat, the rusticky orange hat. That's what I was wearing then.
You want that exact hat or exact something similar hat. To it? Okay.
Well, here's
we'll wait till one of these go out of stock and then we'll
here's a thought though. We need an official like Meatgistics hat. Can we get Meatgistics actually embroidered across the hat instead of Walton's? Put a Walton's patch on it instead of the Meatgistics, and could the orange hat, the old retro hat, that's how we make it bit different, is Meatgistics front, Walton's back. Yeah.
I love that idea.
Party in the front.
Yeah,
business in the front. I absolutely love it. I'm emailing Pat about that right now. Cool. All right, so that's a great idea. You start your meat matters, unless you have other things to talk about.
I actually don't have any meat matters for the day, but I do have two other things. I am proposing the idea or question for either you, John, or everybody listening to answer, but do we need a special section on Meatgistics for posting issues, bugs, complaints, feedback, suggestions on new features? I've seen a number of things lately that it could and it would be better fit in its own area.
Call it Austin's Attic. Something like that. And then I'm not opposed to that. It could be helpful. Because honestly, those are the ones that we really need to see. There was that one post by LKR Fletcher that he was having trouble connecting or finishing an order. And I would not have seen that unless somebody had taken a picture of it and sent it to me.
One of my other thoughts with it too is customer service doesn't know it yet, but I'd probably go to customer service and say, hey, you guys need to monitor this because you may be seeing stuff in here that may be related to Waltons.com, like the guy with the shopping cart issue. LKR Fletcher and his issue, and that way we can have someone in customer service reach out to him faster and help him get things figured out. But
okay, yeah, classically we've kept everything Meatgistics with just us, and I just naturally wanted it to stay that way, but we can talk about that offline. So funny, we're so like, we have such like a, it sounds self-congratulatory or whatever, we have such like an easy back and forth online. You would never think of like the ridiculous fights we have outside of here. Just vicious, always trying to tear each other down.
Black eyes at least once a week.
Once or twice. I have to start taking Tums at 2 o'clock for our 4 o'clock meeting every Tuesday. I'm so nervous. No, I'm just kidding.
So my last thing, I was looking through I was looking through the random topic generator.
Okay.
And I'm loving that feature on Meatgistics now. So up at the top in the menu bar, you can click random and it just pulls a list of totally random topics from any time in the history of Meatgistics. And this was like the one that caught my eye first off. I went to it and I'm like, oh, that'll be fun. Bring it up on the podcast. And my biggest question to you is this still relevant? Do you still do it? And would you do it again? Cooking bacon with water.
A couple of things. I now, and I don't know how this is going to be received, I cook all of my bacon in the oven. So you do too?
Oven or grill, okay. Usually, yeah.
I do it all in the oven now. It's just easier. But yes, no, if I'm doing it in like a cast iron pan, water for sure.
Yeah.
It definitely does help. Like it just makes cleanup so much easier. And as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't affect your bacon, at least not much. Are you a crispy? You're a crispy bacon guy, aren't you?
Oh.
Is that a personal question?
I could go either way. When I'm cooking bacon myself, I usually struggle to get like the perfect crispiness. And I usually will overcook it if I'm getting crispy. So I normally pull it out before it gets super crispy because I just don't want to overcook it. But that's just me and my lack of cooking skills. So I normally eat not super crispy bacon just because I'm afraid of overcooking it.
Okay. I like it just shy of crispy. Like I want it to have a little bit of chewiness to it, but if I hold it, I do want it to stay up. I don't want to like flop down.
We're agreeing on a lot today. I'm in that boat myself.
Did you get any of the sriracha candied bacon jerky that we made?
Nope.
You didn't get any of that.
I missed out on a lot of stuff.
That's unfortunate because that was good.
I think
that was really, really good. We, Patrick, we should actually probably do a whole video on that one.
I agree.
We don't need to do it on all of the Spiceology stuff, but this
that hits spice, like the short list of like
it was perfect.
Top five tasting things we've done since I've been here.
So it was we took the candied bacon sriracha flavored, it's not a shaker, but seasoning from Spiceology, coated some bacon in it, put it in the dehydrator at top temperature, which is 160, and we put it in there for like 2 or 3 hours. So just shy. Well, no, it was like obviously fully firm, but it just was perfect. He hated the old bake, the way we used to do it. He said he'd get like terrible stomach.
Well, I'd get that. Well, I'd get like a bad flavor in my mouth for multiple days. Like and that might have just been a one-off.
You got super sick one time.
I think that was just
not related.
Yeah.
No. But this was amazing. Okay. So I have already emailed them about the Meat Justice hat. That's a good point. We do need that. All right, on to Meat Matters. First story I have here is McDonald's is making a huge commitment to trying what they're calling their McPlant burger. Next month, they're going to try it in a total of 8 stores.
Okay. What? I was about to call you out and go, you're full of crap. It's not a huge commitment, but
eight the sarcasm. Stores. Oh my. How many McDonald's are there? Every town has 3 minimum, right? That's a law, I think.
Do you think there's more McDonald's than any other store?
Oh, what do you mean? Like restaurant?
Yes. No, like I think you mean food? Store at all.
Store, restaurant, anything.
I do.
I mean, there's probably like 6 on my side of town.
Yeah, so. I can't think of anything else that'd be more of. Is there something?
There's something there's more of. Okay.
Gas station.
Can I have one hint?
Gas station.
It's still food related.
Is it Burger King?
No.
Is it Taco Bell?
Nope.
Wait. It's still food related.
It's not Chick-fil-A.
We can't move on.
It is more prevalent in any town, big towns, small towns across all of America. You find it in every town.
Still food related. Waffle House?
Nope.
IHOP?
Nope.
Wait, is it
this can't sit, be fun do you for them
sit
to
down
to.
Is it a sit down restaurant?
No. Well, I mean you can sit down, but you can sit down at McDonald's.
Give us one more good hint. If we can't get it.
Yeah.
You can get your food hot, but it's normally served cold.
Subway.
What?
I knew that. They're owned by McDonald's though, aren't they? Same company.
That is super disappointing.
I have no idea.
And I think you're wrong.
No, there's more Subways. At least it was this way last time I checked a couple few years ago, but I assume it couldn't change that much. Sweet. But
there are more Subways by a large amount.
Yeah.
By over 10,000. There are 14,000 McDonald's. There are 22,000 Subways.
Uh-huh.
Which one are you more likely to go to right
Me?
Now?
Me? Yeah. Subway, 100%.
Yeah.
No,
it's not even remotely
It's a ripoff.
Who cares? It's the food is way higher quality. Patrick?
I didn't say anything. Right?
I didn't say it.
I didn't.
Have you seen what happens when you leave out a McDonald's hamburger?
Yeah, it doesn't go bad.
That's nothing ever grows on it.
Good.
That is not stuff you want.
You want
in
stuff
your,
to grow
no.
in you?
No. Yes. You want food to deteriorate when you leave it out.
Gross. Mm. John, sick.
No, yes? I disagree.
Jerky,
snack sticks.
Okay.
Yeah. Things where the water activity is low enough.
Fair.
The water activity on everything in McDonald's stuff is just that low. I bet it is.
Is that really what?
I bet it's just let's water do some activity.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get our pH.
Yeah, here. We're going to grab
water activity.
Yeah.
This will be maybe a good podcast.
Absolutely. We're going to grab. So a long time ago, we wanted to do a comparison when Taco Bell announced they were coming up with the chicken sandwich. We were going to do a comparison. We were going to get Burger King, theirs, and Chick-fil-A and do it on here. But the Taco Bell chicken whatever never came to this area.
Oh, they're bad. They're just not good. That's what's out, that new thing.
Oh, you've had it?
Yeah, it's not good. It wasn't a chicken sandwich. It was a tiny little chicken. It was a chicken tender and like in naan bread with berylani sauce. So.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, no, that would be interesting. Like get the water activity and the pH of all of the major ones and compare. Okay. Anyways, that was fascinating.
Subway,
I would have bet a lot of money.
What's great? I'm surprised they haven't had. They must have a lot of stores closed though, because like, just how many people are going to a Subway? One, because they had the whole controversy with their sandwiches aren't a foot long. They haven't been $5 for multiple years now. The whole thing with Jared, forget about it.
Yeah, but they don't really call it a $5 foot long anymore,
well,
right?
Well, they can't legally.
No, right, so whatever.
But I'm saying in the last 2 years, it hasn't been $5. So
yeah.
All right, so next one is meat demand starts to cool as retail prices climb. I'm in full support of everybody not buying so much meat so that the price comes down for me. Did do some comparing on what people were saying on last week's podcast post as far as how many steaks people eat a week. And it does seem like I am at the high end of how many steaks I eat a week.
So you are going to be living in copious amounts of luxury when, what was that from the article from the largest meat processor in the EU.
Oh, yes. Saying, I will be sitting there sipping my champagne with my steak.
So how many steaks did people say that they have on average?
No, it was mostly like, I think two a month. Here's the thing. I don't have kids. So it's easier for me. Like for some of these guys, if you're having a steak, how do you not give your kid a steak? Yeah. Steaks for daddy, you get waffles or something, right?
Up to a certain age, I'm sure you can get away with that fine. Like my wife and I, like I talked about, we try to eat steak somewhat regularly because it's just good for her and good for me, good for everybody. But the more kids we have, that's going to become harder. But right now, our son, like he really doesn't care. He doesn't want it. He wants macaroni and cheese. He wants other stuff. Like he would be more content if we gave him anything else we normally feed him than steak. He doesn't get excited about it, doesn't like it. I could cook a hot dog on the grill instead of a steak.
And he would rather have it.
Sure. We could probably get away with that till he's 6, 7, 8. I don't know. I bet a while.
Yeah, for sure. I'm assuming these people have a little bit older of kids. I was thinking more like a just preteen, a teenager, like that age.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could be wrong there.
You know, I grew up with five brothers and I didn't realize that when we first had this discussion. So it's the same reason my mom told me I wouldn't like Red Lobster or anything expensive. She's like, oh no, you wouldn't like that. And here I am assuming Red Lobster is an expensive restaurant. See the time, exactly what your parents do to you.
I will never forget when we cooked the lobster here that my neighbor gave to us and Patrick tried it. And he said something, he's like, oh, that's one of the best things.
Oh, that's one of the greatest things
I've ever had. That's one of the greatest things I've ever tasted. My mom told me I'd eat that.
Yeah. I mean, once you're old enough, when someone goes, oh, she probably just said that because it's expensive. I went, no.
No, you get it.
You just have to have your own money. You know, when you're 10, you don't have a dime.
Yeah, so yeah. Trust me. Also, like lobster is one of those things where I'm not buying it if the lobster's not live because it just degrades so quickly and I'm not paying to have that flown in. That's only because my neighbor gave it to me. That's the only reason I got that. Plant-based beef not yet interchangeable with the real thing, says a study. Gasp.
Oh my goodness.
You can't be serious. I would have imagined it was the exact same thing. I mean, do we really need an article about that? Doesn't really feel like we do.
Yeah. It feels like it's always the same thing in the news too. Like it's them trying to make it be meat and then they're like, oh, it's not. And it's like, yeah, we already knew.
We're getting closer.
But it's just a circle. It just once they get to the end, then they start all over and do the same path.
Here's one that's really interesting. Ranchers are launching an effort to build their own meat plants to fight against low beef prices. There's going to be one in Nebraska, North Platte. It's going to be on 400 acres, and they're calling it, I think, Sustainable Beef is going to be the name of the processing plant.
Yeah, so I actually had a story for Meat Matters because I ran across this last week too.
Okay.
I saw you had it in there. When I first saw this, I'm like, this is crazy. This isn't just like... I thought when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this is going to be a story about ranchers that aren't very big and it's a small business. No, if you're building a meat plant on 400 acres, you are massive.
Yep.
That is not just a small to mid-sized processor. That is a large meat plant.
But my understanding was that it's like kind of a group of them. It's not one rancher building it.
Yeah.
Which would be an awesome way for ranchers to combat against the big four.
Which you in my mind, you would have better success having one rancher have one processing facility because it goes towards the trend of traceable and sustainable food, like people knowing where their food came from and being able to track that. Because there are some meat processors out there that you can know that information from, that, mm-hmm. hey, my beef came from this farmer, this rancher. This is the field that they had it in. But there's not a lot. But I feel like that would do better. But I don't know. This also at least caught my eye because I know somebody that is actually doing this type of deal.
Cool. Like, is it on the plant design side or is it somebody involved in the...
They're not involved in this, but basically somebody who... it's a small group and they're not looking at 400 acres. Sure. It wouldn't be that big, but they are considering opening up a meat plant because they have cattle and beef production that they're tired of going somewhere else for and they want to do it themselves. They've been talking about it for the last at least probably 6 to 9 months. I don't know, maybe longer, but every time I think about it, when I saw this news story, I had to ask him. I'm like, hey, where are you guys at? He's like, well, we're talking, we're making some progress, but nothing's quick. But it was interesting because I see this as being something that just continues to grow and grow and grow. That's what happens when you have somebody, the big four, control so much of the market, is it gets to a point where competition was stifled for a while, but competition's going to start coming back. We've seen more meat plants open in the past year than we have in the previous decade before that.
And I mean, being vertically integrated is, it's a little bit of a risk, but with something like meat, it's not that much of a risk. It's not like the demand is all of a sudden going to disappear for meat. An interesting paragraph from this I want to read is, to Rusty Kemp. He says, he and his neighbors blamed it on consolidation in the beef industry stretching back to the 70s that resulted in four companies slaughtering over 80% of the nation's cattle. We've talked about that numerous times, giving the processors more power to set prices while ranchers struggled to make a living. Federal data shows that for every dollar spent on food, the share that went to ranchers and farmers dropped from 35 cents in the 70s to 14% now, or 14 cents. Well, same thing.
Yeah, percent.
Yeah, it's whatever. The exact same thing. That's unbelievable drop.
Yeah, that's pretty large.
Meanwhile, those companies just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and they're just stealing more pieces of the pie.
Yeah. I mean, you would think that share would kind of move back and forth over time, depending upon who got, I don't know, more automated, more efficient. But that seems a little much. I don't know. But there's also I feel like there's not as many changes that happen in the raising of beef as there would be the processing and production of beef.
Yeah.
So maybe
that might be it. I don't know.
More regulations to follow too. But I'm sure there's a lot of regulations on the raising of beef, but I'm going to guess not as much as during the production. I don't know. Anytime there's regulation, it just increased costs.
Always. So. There is an article. I don't know if you had time to read it. The weight's high, prices coming down. USDA Outlook. It says, ask the smart person next to it.
Does that mean ask me?
Well, definitely. I read it twice and I'm like, I'm not understanding this at all.
Yeah. I more or less read through everything. My version of reading anyways.
Sure. Skimming.
But what's your question?
Real quick, do you remember the one? It was something about schools and I was going nuts on it. And then we read the last paragraph and it like changed everything. And that's why we read the entire thing.
Yeah.
So it says prices are coming down. Where is that? They're still trending up. How are we saying that prices are coming down? Is that per like what the ranchers are getting for it?
No, this is all talking about projected and forecast.
Yeah, I don't trust any of that.
It's all speculation.
Yeah, I don't trust
that. Which I love that. My best example is government spending. When you hear people at the left and right arguing back and forth about who's spending this, who's spending that, every time they use numbers, they always use projected spending. So mm-hmm. they're like, oh, well, spending was projected to be $10 trillion and we cut the projected spending to 7. So we just saved $3 trillion. Yeah, no, when in reality, last year's spending was $5 trillion. And so either way, they're adding $5 trillion or $2 trillion. Either way, there's no difference. So projected is just a bunch of nonsense in my mind.
It's ridiculous.
But it can provide like a map as to where you're going, but don't trust it more than a grain of salt because things can change. We could have another crazy thing happen like COVID next year. Yeah. Maybe it's not COVID, but it's something else, something different. And it makes prices drop like a rock or go sky high. You don't know. You don't know what the future is going to be till you get there.
And then this one's on what to expect for birds for this holiday season. That says smaller birds may be pricey and hard to come by again this year. In fact, consumer packaged hen turkeys in wholesale markets as of the first week in October ran more than 10% higher than just the month earlier. So look to get your turkey early. I was listening to something on the way in the other day, and it was a guy complaining that under optimum conditions, he wants to be able to put out 750 turkeys a day, like dress and start the brining process on. And to do that, he'll have temporary employees like bump his number up to 70, I want to say. Maybe it was 80. Right now, he's got seven. Seven people willing to come in and help him out. So, I mean, I would imagine turkeys are going to be harder to come by again this year. That doesn't really affect me. I have a stake on all those days. So yeah. I don't really care, but you know.
I don't know. I'm going to bet I won't be eating turkey this year. If I go to my in-laws, we eat turkey and stuff, turkey and ham, Thanksgiving, Christmas, stuff like that. But if I go to my dad's, we've been more often, not every time, but doing something like, yeah, steak or prime rib or something, beef or pork.
Yeah, I remember he did a prime rib a couple of years ago because, yeah, we were talking to him about like how best to cook it.
I do want to say though, not to brag too much, but if there is an issue with getting turkeys and hams, I just want people to know that you and I talked about it first here because we talked about this weeks ago.
Oh, more than weeks ago, wasn't it?
I don't remember exactly when, but I mean, we did talk about like, hey, from what we're seeing and some of the stuff we're going through, like there could be an issue getting turkeys and hams here.
So my wife and I were talking about this morning. My poor wife. I mean, we talk about food way more than she probably wants to, but I was telling her, I have a very good feeling now. Like the last couple of months, I was really worried about food, like if things go terribly wrong, all that. Now that I have a lay down chest freezer in the basement that I've mostly at least half filled, I have a couple of months of emergency food for her and myself, and I'm going to take care of the neighbors. I just like them too much. There's nice little family they're from. I think they're from, the parents are directly from China. The kids were, but the sweetest people. Unbelievably nice. I mean, they give me lobster when they fly. Obviously, I like them. And then I bought a ton of more ammo. So now I'm just like, my anxiety level has come so low. But I did call all my siblings last week and said, hey, I want your kids' Christmas present wants now. Like, I want to be the one who still gets them something if, you know, even if they can't find it, Uncle John could.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the last one I have is this article. It's from Meeting Place. And Patrick, if we can remember, I do really want to post this one because it's important. It is from Hannah Thompson Wieman, and it's called Anatomy of a Pressure Campaign. So this goes on to talk about how pressure campaigns from organizations like PETA are far more difficult for the food industry, for really for any industry to deal with than just a boycott, anything like that. Because once they start getting people to either pull products or even worse in a different way, add regulations, or like we now require that you do X, Y, or Z, makes it incredibly hard. And I want to read one paragraph from it, but I want everyone that can to spend the time to go read this article because it's an important look at that whole process, how those kind of how they start, but how they really affect the industry. But it says, In a recent workshop that was live streamed on social media, a speaker from PETA clearly laid out their pressure campaign strategy. The speaker explained that PETA wants to end use of animals as food by making vegan food accessible, and one way they are doing it is by increasing price of animal products, by ending animal ag subsidies and passing welfare regulations. So their stated goal is to increase the price of your food. So I don't want this to turn into a PETA ragging on, but they're not who they claim to be. Like, they have very good PR, because I think PETA kills more dogs than any kill shelter.
Yeah.
Like, certainly than any individual kill shelter.
I think we looked this up over a year plus ago, but yeah. if memory serves, yeah, yep. you're not too far from the
poster. Yeah, they're, well, they don't care about animals. They just don't want you to have them.
I don't know. That their ideology is so twisted. I mean, they're people for the ethical treatment of animals. So there's nothing that says that you can't kill animals still. Because in their mind, it's you can still be ethical and kill them. It's while they're alive and actually doing things, then that's where it's non-ethical, or what you do for killing it. Like,
yeah, why wouldn't they get involved in how to properly slaughter animals instead of trying to eradicate it?
They entirely? Are trying to get involved in that, and they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
No, but in a way that, I mean, like we say Temple Grandin a lot, you know, but like, she actually got down on her hands and knees and said, well, the way that we, you know, like when we see imperfections in meat, that sometimes happens because the animal's under too much stress and stuff like that. So it's all, it's easing the way from point A to Z. Whereas PETA, I feel like they get in the way of that process. And it's just like, okay, let's have some common sense behind it. The animal's going to die. How can we do it in the most humane way for all people involved? And mm-hmm. I feel like you can't even have that conversation.
Yeah. Nope. And that's, to be honest, it would be nice to see both sides come together and go, hey, you're going to agree with, you're going to think this way. You're going to think this way. We're never going to agree. So what can we do to make it the exactly, best? Because yeah. to be honest, treating animals in the most humane possible way is going to make for a better food product.
Everyone, yeah.
So it ought to be something where both sides can say, hey, we're gonna kill the animal, we're gonna eat it. And the other side can say, well, we want you to treat it properly. Here's the best way to treat an animal. Great, let's do that, because it's going to make a better food product.
Sure. You're looking at that, you're giving PETA the benefit of the doubt. I absolutely am not.
Oh, no, I'm not
trust them at all.
I don't think that could ever happen.
Okay.
I'm just saying, okay. I wish it could. It should be able to be done that way, but it never will.
Yeah, because do you really think that most of the or a large section of the farmers and ranchers are not trying to make their animals slaughtering the most humane?
No, well, I think they do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they absolutely
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
I think they do. There's always room for improvement.
Yes,
and maybe yeah. it would make the other side a little happier if there was that dialogue.
Nope. That's a trap.
I know.
That's a trap.
I'm theorizing of what
the
things should be like.
Scenario.
Yep. None of this, I think, will ever happen, but.
But it
this
also,
is Austin's perfect world of right. everyone getting together, unicorns and rainbows for everyone.
But it could also be like in 2002, there was that small little listeria outbreak because of some jerky and one processor. And then the, was it FSIS? Who came in and changed the whole, now you have to have thermal processing with humidity.
Is that FSIS? FSIS, yeah, which FSIS. Is part of USDA. So.
Have they? I don't even think that's fully been implemented yet.
For
a real
know.
Quick backstory.
I think it has.
It has? Okay.
Yeah.
So it used to be jerky just had to be dried to a certain point. Now they've added more steps for the person making the jerky where it has to also, I don't know if they have to measure it every time. They could probably just do it as part of their HACCP plan. Just prove that they...
Yeah, if you do, like, the whole point of a HACCP plan is you do it, you prove it, here's how it's to be done, mm-hmm. and then you just follow that same way every time, because if it's like the, I'm going to screw this up, but like the scientific method, how something then you do it, you prove it, mm-hmm. prove that it works, and then it's repeatable.
Yep.
So as long as you're doing the same thing, it's repeatable. You don't have to test it again because you already know the results.
Yeah.
But
we should have, we've got, I reached out to a couple of people for some professors to be on the podcast because that way or Riverside FM worked so well like no reason to not have, we don't have to bring them in anymore. It makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll have somebody on talk HACCP.
That would actually be really cool. Retail people would really get a kick out of it. And for the commercial customers that listen, they would actually pick up some stuff that could really help them out in their day-to-day business.
Sure.
So.
All right, you got anything else?
I do.
Oh, whoa.
You didn't cover one of the stories that was in here.
Which one?
That I really wanted to talk about. USDA ramps up effort to reduce salmonella illnesses linked to poultry. This is from meetingplace.com. And I loved your comment on here. I'll let you decide if you want to read the exact comment or not. But it's crazy, like what they're talking about needing to go through to make sure that the food supply, specifically poultry, is more safe. 'Cause no matter what you do in raw meat and poultry, tangent, why does there have to be a distinction between meat and poultry? Can I just call it meat?
No, one has to be cooked to 165, the other has to be cooked to 160.
Nah.
No.
Let's call it 162 and get out there, of
there. Right? There, but that's nope. Where if you look into Appendix A, there is a table specifically for beef, but there is a table for chicken in the poultry.
Fat content comes into that.
But it's the same thing. You can go to different temperatures.
Right.
You can go with different fat content. So when you say 160, 165, it's so much more complicated than that.
But
it's just that is guaranteed safe.
That's the simple way.
Yeah.
So just cook up to 165. Don't worry about the fat content because you're never going to figure that out at home. So just cook up to 165 and you're safe.
Yeah. But
except for that guy we talked about last week who's just taking bites of raw
chicken breast.
Sorry.
Oh, craziness. But I mean, doesn't everyone have some level of knowledge and understanding that raw meat has a potential to make you sick? And if you're getting salmonella from eating raw poultry, like you would make the connection there. If you're getting salmonella and you're eating chicken, maybe you're not cooking it all the way and there's still something raw in there. Like if you cook meat to a proper temperature, you won't get sick with those things. Like how is that? It said there's like a million cases of salmonella a year from poultry. I don't even think it even mentions
everything else that
more specifics on it, but it has to be from undercooked meat.
A lot of that could be crazy. Could be cross contamination as
right,
well.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
Just people cutting not up vegetables on a cutting
on
board
the same board that they cut their chicken off.
So I wonder what percent
that would still count as poultry.
That's true.
Yeah. But my comment on that was, how about you cook your food, idiot?
Yeah.
I mean, that cook it up to 165 and your poultry is fine.
I didn't think about it, but I think what you guys were saying about cross contamination, I bet there's more of that than it is undercooking. Because
could be
you take a bite in a raw chicken, you're not going to want a second one. But
because my assumption was always that like people will like undercook beef and overcook chicken, unless I have that backwards.
No,
but I think it's that.
I agree. Yeah.
Like people normally overcook it because that's why so many places have like really dry chicken.
Terrified.
Chicken should not be dry, but. Cross-contamination makes a lot more sense there.
But again, that is another idiot thing. Like, don't cut your vegetables on something that just touched raw chicken. Don't take a cutting board out to your grill, put the chicken on it, and then put the chicken back on that cutting board.
Yeah.
Like, you have to clean.
Not just like take it to the sink and rinse it off. Like, you have to clean it.
Do schools still have home ec? Or are they getting rid of that class
Probably
too?
Probably not.
So it's just, you got to hope they have a health class in second grade or something, or common sense, right?
I loved home ec. Got to cook.
I feel like I missed so many things because definitely didn't have any of that in like elementary, middle school. But then like high school, there was none of that. When I went to high school, the high school was new enough that they just had, I mean, they had like the basics, the basic classes. Didn't even get woodworking, no shop class.
Really?
Nothing like that.
No.
I always hear people talking about that, and I'm like, I missed out on stuff in my childhood because I didn't get to have shop class.
I loved shop so much that it should have clued me in to like, hey, don't go to college. Go to be a pipe fitter or
build
something.
Stuff,
build something. Yeah. But it didn't. I wanted to go party. That's basically what it was.
But yep.
I actually have a story. News story, meat related, not party related. I was like, oh man, he probably thinks where I'm going. But no, I sent you a link in Teams earlier. Anyways, real quick one. It's about a recent pork recall But what's interesting about this one, it wasn't for anything that they found in said pork, because a lot of it was trimmings and a lot of it used in actual pork rinds. But they did find that they did not go through one of their security measures for the safety of the meat. So they don't know if it's good or not. So check your pantries for any pork rinds or anything like that.
USDA issues urgent, so throw it away if you have any. Food safety inspection, which is part of the pork recall, 10,000 pounds of pork pellets.
Exactly. I think they dry a lot. The products
were brought into the U.S. in September. Contamination issue, subject to recall. Max 30-ounce original pork skin, Caso de Oro hot pork skin, jalapeno max pork skin, original 7-Eleven, the store's fried original pork rind, 7-Eleven's chili lime pork skin, and then Turkey Creek chili lime and Turkey Creek dill pickle. I bet you the chili lime and dill pickle pork skins are amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I would bet so.
I would probably still eat them if I had them.
But the reason I find this particular story kind of fascinating is that like they didn't find anything wrong with it yet. They just, it all got shipped out, and then they realized, uh-oh, we didn't check this box in our safety protocol. I wonder what that was. Yeah, I wonder how severe of a step it might have been.
I mean, that should give you a good feeling. Like,
yeah, they're doing a way better job. Yeah.
They're going, hey, whoa, we didn't do this. Well, it's already been sent out. They don't go, okay, well, yeah, whatever. They go, nope,
yeah,
bring it back.
There's a lot of stuff that deals with some sort of consumption food related that happens like that. The Wichita was under a boil water advisory, and it was all precautionary. They didn't know that something was wrong. After when they tested, everything was fine. So in theory, you could have drank the water the whole time and you'd have been totally fine.
I did.
Mass hysteria around here, by the way.
I was trying to see if I could get it to improve my gut bacteria.
I mean, but the amount of people that went out and bought bottled water was laughable.
But it's great. Throw that in your basement.
Yeah.
Not if you couldn't find, it places.
Yeah, I sent Austin a picture. I was just at QT and they're like, center section where they have like their sandwiches and all that stuff, 100% bare.
Yep.
100% bare. Two of the shelves for chips, nothing on it.
Do you think their little food thing was because it was broken, or are they really out?
Oh no, I think they're out. There's also no pizza while I was there.
Really?
Yep. And they were very limited, like the burritos things. Huh. So I feel terrible saying this, but I'm excited for my wife not to be able to get her nonsense veggie food, because I've been telling her for months. I'm like, that is a luxury that is going to become impossible to get. You're crazy. Well, she doesn't say that, but I can feel it. I feel her thinking I'm insane.
Well, thinking of that Quick Trip stuff, they make a lot of like almost all that in-house, right? So I wonder if they just happen to make some of it with water or rinse some of the lettuce of the sandwich off or something like that. But like, once again, I like to see someone taking the extra step to make sure our food safety, especially even on a local level, is stellar. So
yeah.
Anything else?
That's all I got.
In the future, Patrick.
Never say anything else.
No, it was very good. I like it when he gets more involved. Remind us in the beginning, we need to say something about where we're available and to leave a review.
Yeah, definitely.
Like we need to do that right off the go instead of me saying, hey.
That's a good point.
Most people.
I'm sure there's hundreds of people listening right now. So
there are dozens of us.
We could do a thing. One of the podcasts I listen to, they give away koozies to everyone.
To the end.
That leaves a review. They have to take a screenshot of it and send it in. And then when whoever does the podcast verifies it, they send them a free koozie. We do something like that where if people can show us that they left a review, we give them something free. We I sent you an email the other day.
We have that set up. 1,000 koozies
in stock right now.
That's cool.
So we're going to do, for anyone listening, you can get a koozie either by leaving us a review, taking a picture of it, and posting it on the Meatgistics thread.
Or do you want them to email?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Let's just do it right through there. Or just next week, spend more than $30 and put one of those koozies in your cart, and we're running a promotion where they will be free. It will come. You don't need a coupon code. It'll just come right off. So
awesome.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you next week.
Later. Thanks for checking out the Meatgistics podcast. To shop everything but the meat, head on over to waltonsinc.com.
And to get your meat processing questions answered by experts and enthusiasts alike, head on over to our online community at meatgistics.com. Walton's, everything but the meat.